Well, it's a great pleasure to welcome these two papers from Professor Bolton, taking us through the Science as an Open Enterprise report, focusing on the data storm, but also on replicability and credibility. The key points that the Royal Society has made about giving credits for collaboration, but also warnings that become even stronger when one deals with big data, warnings about cherry-picking and the need to clear our minds of logical errors and certainly to avoid malice of forethought. Although many data are created by scientists, not all data by any means are created by scientists, and that applies very often in terms of administrative data, and I'll return to that. Sir Nigel gave us those five paradigms: experiment, theory, simulation, data-driven, and open innovation. Though I would suggest that these do not necessarily occur just in that order, and that we need to revisit various of these. Data-driven discoveries may need to be subject to formal experiment to make sure that they do, in fact, have replicability and credibility. We were also shown in areas, in aspects where there was a crying critical public good, both in Port-au-Prince and in the E. coli example, of people getting together in an emergency and making discoveries in remarkably short order. But of course that doesn't always apply, and there is not always that incentive. And we also had the example of the postcode data and the various uses that were highlighted in The Guardian. At around the same time, the Private Eye had a cartoon of the criminal sitting there looking at the crime maps, deciding where next to operate. Crucially, again, Sir Nigel made the point about analysis of data often leading to improvements in those data, finding the missing bus stops, or in the case of farms and BSE, relocating them from the sea to a landmass. These are not unique examples by any means. But there was also an appeal or a challenge to those of us who, like me, are a statistician, to embrace the opportunity, and I think it is a challenge well enunciated, that yes, there are details of sampling methodology that are very important, but it gives us an opportunity to share that importance and that understanding. So those are the points that I've taken from this. If I might make five of my own, just briefly. The first on response rates and the need for those response rates, ideally not to fall below 60%. I'll comment on the fact that medical data are different, the importance of scientific insight, the need for study protocols, even in relation to administrative data and particularly national databases, and some issues of concern about delayed discoveries. So on response rates, statisticians have considerable experience of data definition and collection. And in Sir Austin Bradford Hill's presidential address to the Royal Statistical Society in 1951, his address was on doctors' pay, doctors' day and pay. On his inquiry into what they did in their day, he had a 97% response rate. In the inquiry into their pay, what they earned, the response rate was 66%. And in the 21st century, if we think in terms of biobank, the response rate is probably less than 20%. And partly that is because medical data are different, not just because I'm a biostatistician, but because biological samples or images that are taken for diagnostic purposes These are obtained by doctors under a strong duty of confidentiality. And the duty is strong because at the time that you or I give permission for that biological sample to be taken or that image to be taken, we ourselves do not know what it is going to reveal about us. And once revealed, we cannot rescind the information. Unless we falsify our medical record, which is not in our interest, and it is certainly not in the interest of epidemiology. This is quite different from a social survey in which I may choose to give you false information. Let me also emphasize the need for study protocols. Scientific method, I'd suggest, has nothing to fear from openness. And with few exceptions, subjects of studies should have a right of access to the protocol for any study for which they have given informed consent or for which their consent has been assumed. And lastly, on the topic of delayed discoveries. Although the costs of bioinformatics data have come down dramatically over the last few years, the costs of longitudinal studies, particularly if they involve interviews, have increased. So there is increasing and important use of record linkage to find out important information about individuals. But any record linkage study, when I come to analyse it, for example, as to 31st of December 2012, I need to know for each of the subjects in that study whether the individual was alive or dead by the 31st of December 2012. And ladies and gentlemen, in England and Wales, I cannot know that. And that is because we do not register deaths properly. We do not count the deaths properly. A death which is referred for inquest is not even registered until the inquest verdict comes in. So for 10,000 deaths each year in England and Wales, there is at least a 6 months delay before the fact of death is registered. So for all of those record linkage studies, I have to delay the analysis for at least 2 years so that I can find out about the survival status of individuals.